Turn to your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. The Lord with me. Come magnify the Lord with me and exalt His name forever. Where have all the musicians gone? They missed the point. I said, come, magnify, they go. I'm just teasing. You ready for the word? Praise the Lord. You're looking good tonight. Amen. Pastor Henry, overcome your jet lag. The man is back from a conference in the U.S. That's why I asked him about jet lag. Joshua chapter 1. You all there? Reading from verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down, the Mediterranean Sea, of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. What a tremendous time in the life of not only Joshua, but the whole nation of Israel. After 40 years of wandering, they are right now before the River Jordan. Just a few kilometers, and they are in the Promised Land. And those of you who have been to Israel, you all know the exciting moment. Especially those who have gone to Israel via Jordan, you know, when you're about to cross the River Jordan, and you have all these thoughts of grandeur about this river that is talked about so much in the Bible. Then you cross, it's smaller than Singapore River. Now suddenly you feel that Singapore is big. You know, when you cross, yeah, it's so small. And then you begin to realize that God truly chooses the small things to confound the mighty. It's just His way. The mighty God chooses small things, simple things. The jawbone of a donkey to destroy 1,000 men in the hands of Samson. Amen. A shepherd boy. Amen. And his stone and his sling to bring down a giant, the champion of the Philistines. It's like God's way to use something so base like the cross, the most, the cruelest invention of man. All right? Talk the slow death and torture to kill a criminal. Amen. To use that object of evil and turn it into the greatest triumph. People talk about the old rugged cross. It's your Father's way. So in the kingdom of God, if you are weak, it is your strength. If you don't have talent, all right, it is your benefit. If you in the natural, you don't have much going for you, you come from a poor family, you don't have much education, you don't speak well, God can use you more. Not that God cannot use people who are well off, who are talented, it's just that they got much more to renounce. Even the Apostle Paul, a Pharisee of Pharisees, he says he's going to give up everything and count them but dung. Because he has so much achievements. Even the law, he says, regarding the law, blameless. He didn't say sinless, blameless. You cannot blame him. He's a Pharisee of Pharisees. You know, like people say, I am a Christian of Christians. Leader of leaders. You know, those who boast. He's a Pharisee of Pharisees. Amen. Yet he count them all what? Dung. For the excellency of knowing Jesus Christ. Many of us, we don't have to count our achievements done and our past as done because our past was done. But Paul counted them as done. Amen. He has much more to renounce. Just a few more kilometers and they are in the land that promised to their fathers for generations. Forfeited by their immediate fathers for 40 years. Just a few more kilometers. And Moses cannot cross in. Always remember, Moses represents the law. And the law cannot bring you into the promised land. Joshua, his name in Hebrew means Yeshua, the Hebrew name of Jesus. Only Jesus can bring you in. And the land for us today is called rest. It is a land where you enjoy the finished work. In those days, their time, it is described like you drink from wells you did not dig. You live in houses you did not build. Amen? Like a house right down, prime area, next to Orchard Road. All expenses paid, it's freehold, and someone give you the key. Amen? Now you say amen louder. I mean, I gotta speak your language to understand how much, you know, these people really saw the land. But today for you and I, what is our land? Again, it's a finished work. There's nothing for us to do. The key is given to us. All expenses paid. Paid at a dear, dear cost. The dying lamb paid the cost for us to come. But what is the land? God said in Hebrews 4, I swore they will not enter my rest. Instead of saying my land, God says they will not enter my rest. So today, the reality of the land for you and I is rest. There is a rest for the people of God. Amen? When you are restful, your health will improve, your mind becomes sharper. People who are restful succeed. Amen? In the church, people who are restful are anointed. Anointing cannot flow where there's anxiety and stress. Like the Holy Spirit is typified by the dove is a restful bird. Amen? And Moses is dead, so God spoke to Joshua. Now let's look at Joshua, not as a type, but as a leader. Okay, Joshua himself. As a type, he is Christ. As a leader, let's learn some things about leadership. Because all of you, you lead your children, mothers, fathers, you lead your entire family. Amen? You are a leader of some capacity. All of God's people are called to lead. All of God's people are called to teach. That's what the Bible says, when the time you ought to be teachers. Not all are called to the fivefold ministry, full-time, to teach or preach, but all are called to teach. Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world, preach, teaching all nations. That's for all Christians. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're called to preach. Pastor Prince, I cannot say that to my neighbor, because my neighbor is my wife, and she's been doing a lot of preaching at home. I don't mean that kind of preaching. I say preaching, not nagging. Amen. Then God told him, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. What a promise. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. He's got a big pair of shoes to fill, isn't it? Amen. I mean, nobody has seen him do miracles, because always it's been what? Moses and his rod. And he's got a big pair of shoes to fill. So the next verse says, be strong and of good courage. Now this exhortation is given 3 to 4 times just in this one chapter. Be strong and of a good courage. Amen. If you want to win in life, you must be strong and be of good courage. Amen. Don't be afraid to be different in your workplace. Dare to be different. Young people, dare to be different. Learn to say no and smile. Amen. With a sparkle in your eye. And dare to be different. People say, hey man, you're not cool, man. Say, I'm cool, just not your definition. Then whose definition? God Almighty. I'd rather have his definition than your definition. You whose breath is held in his hands. Amen. Dare to be different. Be strong. Be courageous. Amen. Being courageous does not mean that when you do some things, there's no butterflies in your stomach. Being courageous means in spite of the butterflies, you still do it. Amen. You do it afraid. That is courageous. You still do it. Amen. Amen. You need to talk to your boss about a raise. All right? I'm talking to the rest of you, not my staff. You go in and you tell him, amen. Nicely, of course, with the wisdom of God, pray about it, sense the timing. At the right time, go in and talk to him. Amen? I'm looking ahead of this front row. Amen? Do it, afraid. Never mind, do it. You can feel the butterflies, but do it. That's courageous. And God says, be strong and of a good courage. Another time he says, be very courageous. Amen. Then the Lord gave him a key. Again, God repeats himself in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all which the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may observe wherever you go. You may prosper, excuse me. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Say day and night. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. Say prosperous. And then you will have good success. Say good success. So God gives you the key to a prosperous life and a life of good success. Is there bad success? Oh yes. I'm sure you've seen people with bad success. I mean, they are achievers. I mean, they make plenty of money, but they lose their family. They make advancement in their career, and among their peers, their name is reputed. But they are public success, but private failures. That's not good success. And then there are people, their success makes them so busy, they don't have time to hug their little three-year-old or just kiss their children. Good night. Good success means you just enjoy life and still not, I'm not saying you miss out on those things. God says all these things will be added. Amen. And I love the Lord because, you know, the Lord does not say, when I was growing up, the version of Christianity I heard was this, you must give up this one to get only the spiritual things. You must give up the physical, the material to get the spiritual things. Now, no doubt, spiritual is priority because it's a spiritual that gives birth to the material. It was a divine, majestic being. There's a spirit being. God who is spirit. Who spoke the material into existence. So if you focus on the spirit, you are on the right track. Because whatever you need in life, first it must be in the spirit. You build it in the spirit. And then it will manifest. Amen? But that does not mean that God lives only in a spiritual world. God made a physical world. To me, one day we go to heaven. Heaven is a physical place. Streets of gold means streets of gold. It doesn't say streets of spiritual gold. Spiritual streets of spiritual gold. And oh, your mansion is spiritual mansion. Amen. We all float in and out everywhere we go. No, thank God. Even Jesus rose with a material body. Amen. Except that body cannot die, cannot be sick, cannot be weary, cannot be bored, cannot grow old ever again. So that is still material. Amen. But God wants us to prioritize spiritual things. And then all these things, the things he talked about, are the things the Gentiles seek after. These are things that are practical things that we talk about in our earthly life, or else the Gentiles will not seek spiritual things. And Jesus says, those Gentiles that seek those things will be added to you. In every service, the Holy Spirit is telling me the same thing again and again. Just now, while I was still in the midst of my preparation to come down here, I was still looking at the Word of God. Then I felt like a prompting to look at my clock, my digital clock, all right, because of timing. And I look at it, 6:33. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, and I'm telling you, God is always reminding, to remind you to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, all right, and don't get distracted. You hit one thing, you get everything. You go for everything, you get nothing. I'd rather hit the one thing. God makes things, you know, the revelations of God is always simple. It takes men to complicate things. Sometimes there's some Bible teachers to complicate things. Amen. I pray that I'll not be one of them by the grace of God. Amen. Pastor? I'm not. Oh, I'm so, it's coming from you, Pastor Henry. It means so much. I'm so glad you're back. Now, tonight, we look at what God said in Joshua 1:8, because for a long time, you know, the amazing thing is last week, the Lord emphasized His written scriptures, right? Today, I want to just bring another angle to this verse that gives you a prosperous life and good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, once again, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law will not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate in it day and night. Now, think about what Joshua had to meditate. Joshua did not have the New Testament, so he meditated on the Old Testament. And up to then, he didn't even have the stories of David to meditate. It has not yet happened. So all that he had to meditate was the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, or Don'tronomy. It's a lot of don'ts, isn't there? It's a Deuteronomy. And think about it. He's meditating on intestines of the bullock that is offered. He's meditating on how the sin offering, you must remove the offal. You know, it's the removing the offal. You see, reading the Bible improves your English. Offal is dung. So you gotta meditate on things like this. Meditate on the laws of leprosy. All right? To what extent leprosy is leprosy? To what extent it is incurable? To what extent is... All these things are in the book of Leviticus. Think about it. Then there's even a section about men's uncleanness and woman's uncleanness and how to conduct your affairs during that time. Think about it, the guy, day and night, it shall not depart from your mouth. When a man has his unclean, you know, it's like, gotta meditate on those things. Imagine, and yet the Bible says when you meditate on God's law in those days, you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Now, the word meditate is the Hebrew word haggah. All right, you're taking down notes, H-A-G-A-H. Haggah means to mutter under your breath. You ever see people, you know, when they are writing an essay or whatever, you know, or just doing something, then they stop, they put the pen on their lips. And I have a teacher last time in school. She always does that, you know, and all of us are intrigued because she likes to talk to us. Maybe it's a boyfriend or what, she's writing a love letter. Back in those days, you know, you don't do this when you are typing nowadays. All right, typing is a different expression. It's like this. You know, but there was a time when people were more restful. They write, they stop, then they, and they mutter to themselves. Well, the haggah, the word haggah is to mutter to yourself. That means you speak to yourself. It is not this mental contemplation that we talk about. It's not a posture of someone like into TM, transcendental meditation. And then the arm come. You know, it's not that kind of meditation, okay? Look here, you know, it's not the kind of meditation, okay? Amen? Now, God hides things in the Old Testament for us to discover in the New. What is the new counterpart of the word shall not depart from your mouth? Because we know that we are no more under the law. Can I have a good amen? Now, I know that you meditate on God's word, there's power. Somehow, when people read this word, this verse, they turn the book of the law into God's word. Many times. That's how it's taught. But actually, the verse says the book of the law. Amen? So you must change that today. So what has replaced the law? What has replaced the law? What has replaced the law? Actually, it's the Spirit. Grace is like a dispensation. Amen? The Spirit. You live by the law. Today, how do you live? You live by grace. Correct. Grace, righteousness, you won't be wrong by saying that. But be more specific, it is the law. Spirit. Amen? Amen. Now, it says in 2 Corinthians 3, God has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Say new. We are no more under the old covenant, and we are not ministers of the old covenant. You know, there is no prophet sitting under ministries of the old covenant. They will kill you. All right? Last time it used to be very nice, you know. Oh, it's okay, you know. You must accept, you know, every teaching. But I'm here to tell you, it's dangerous to sit under a ministry of the old covenant. Now, I teach a lot from the old covenant. Don't misunderstand. Ministry of the old covenant means they say that the laws are still for today. That is deadly. But if you see Jesus and you teach from the Old Testament, but you bring out from the old covenant, beautiful pictures of grace and our Lord Jesus Christ, that's life. Amen? So you must understand, ministry of the new covenant here refers to people who hold on to the new covenant as everything still goes. Alright? Instead of the reality and the meaning of it. Not of the letter. The letter here is the law. God wrote the letters on tables of stone. Later we'll see the contrast again. But of the, not of the letter, old covenant, but of the spirit, new covenant, grace, righteousness, of the spirit. So notice letter and spirit is contrasted. Amen? The reality today is spirit for the believer. For the letter kills. Now the law kills, but the spirit gives life. And to prove the law kills, the ministry of death, it calls the law the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones. It came with glory. But later on, you keep on reading, it says that new covenant has greater and surpassing glory. Amen. All right? So the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, this is the Ten Commandments. Those who argue that we are no more under law, all right, is referring to ceremonial law, show them this verse. Because ceremonial law was never engraved on stones. God only engraved with his finger, the holy finger of God. God wrote on two stones, the Ten Commandments. And God calls, God himself calls that the two tablets, the two stones, ministry of death. Tong tong chang. Amen. Okay, keep that in mind, okay? Now we go back to the previous verse. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Now look up here. Once again, I love this picture of old and new. You know, when children of Israel came to Mount Sinai, God gave them the law. Say the law. Now, what day was it? Pentecost. Because it was 50 days right after the first Passover. The first Passover was celebrated, all right, that brought them out, all right, of Egypt. What 10 plagues cannot do? The final plague did. Oh, sorry. The final blood did. The plague did not. The blood did. They came out by the blood of the Lamb. Are you listening? Amen. So they came out, and 50 days you find them at Mount Sinai. Now 50 days after Passover is Pentecost. So the first Pentecost, you ask a Jewish person today, why do you all celebrate Pentecost? Oh, we celebrate the giving of the law. Every observant Jew will say that. All right? Shavuot. Pesach is Passover. You say Shavuot. Why do you all celebrate Shavuot? Pentecost. They'll say the giving of the law. They'll never tell you the giving of the Spirit. That is unique for us believers in the New Covenant. So they celebrate today. Until today, they still, observant Jews still celebrate Shavuot, Pentecost, as the giving of the law. Amen? So when God gave the law, we know that at the foot of the mountain, not immediately, but 40 days after, that shows God's mercy, 3,000 people died. Are you listening? 3,000 people died. Okay? Because Moses came down with the Ten Commandments. And when he saw the golden calf. All right? It goes to show the law was not designed to give them righteousness. In fact, they said, we'll keep all the law. The next thing you know, golden calf. All right? So, in the book of Acts, very interesting. Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. I love that sound. Rushing mighty wind. The Holy Spirit is in a hurry. You know why? He's been waiting for a long time. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes to bless you, He rushes to bless you. When the Holy Spirit leaves, the Holy Spirit leaves there in the Old Testament. He doesn't leave you anymore. But in the Old Testament, even when He left the temple, He left very slowly. When I was in the charismatic circle, I got the reverse impression. They tell me that when you do something wrong, the Holy Spirit goes. He always goes very quickly. Then, for Him to come, you have midnight prayer, all night prayer. You gotta pray for Him to come. You gotta beg Him to come. You gotta entreat Him to come. They call it tarrying meetings. The charismatic. So it's the reverse. For Him to come. But my Bible says something different. It says that the Holy Spirit came like a rushing mighty wind. He's been waiting. Amen? And He waited until the day of Pentecost had fully come. Now, I ask myself the question, why wait until the day of Pentecost was fully come? Fully come. And you know what time was it? 9 o'clock in the morning. Third hour. Alright? 9 o'clock in the morning. But Jewish time begins in the evening at 6 p.m. The new day begins at 6 p.m. It's always been like this. Alright? How come the day of Pentecost was fully come at 9 a.m.? So the Lord had me go back to check Mount Sinai when God gave the law. God gave the law exactly in the morning. So it must have been 9 o'clock in the morning. So the cycle works like this. It cannot start at 6 because God didn't give at 6 in the evening on the previous day. So it waited until morning. The day of Pentecost had fully come. It's the dawning of a new morn. Amen. And then the Holy Spirit came rushing. And I love this picture again, because if you know about Ezekiel's vision, Ezekiel, Old Testament prophet in the book of Ezekiel, all right, because Ezekiel wrote the book of Ezekiel, all right, inspired by the Spirit. And he had this vision. He saw the Holy Spirit, the glory of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, leave the temple. And he saw it like this. The Holy Spirit left very slowly. He went to the, first of all, the threshold of the temple. And then finally, he lingered, almost like unwilling to go. But the people's sins have come, the cup of their abominations has all been filled, all right, to overflowing. And God been warning them. God says, I'll go. And back in those days, all right, God comes and God goes, because they didn't have the blood of Jesus to wash them inside for God to dwell permanently. Like some people I know. Some people I know, the blood of Jesus washes them. Don't play. God's Son, His blood. These people in the Old Testament, the blood of bulls covered them. Cannot even wash them, just covered them. So inside they are still dirty. Like, you know, some of you, when you sweep your floor, you sweep it under the carpet. Actually, the dirt is still there, but it's covered. Amen? But the blood of Jesus removes. And when the blood of Jesus touches you, it's not the blood of goats or bulls or a lamb. It's the blood of the true Lamb, the Son of God. And the blood, because the life of the flesh is in the blood, the life of God is in Jesus' blood. And when the blood touches you, the life of God touches you. When the blood washes you, you are washed. There's no argument about it. You are washed whiter than washed. You are whiter than snow. Amen. Amen. And you are so clean, and the proof that you are so clean is that the Holy Spirit is able to do something He cannot do in the Old Testament, and that's come and indwell you. No one told me before that the fact that the Holy Spirit is in me today, compared to even the great saints, even David didn't have the Holy Spirit, even Elijah, even Abraham, and all of them in the Old Testament, they never had the Holy Spirit inside them permanently. That's why David prayed, God, when he sinned, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Because in those days, all right, the Holy Spirit lives when you sin. Amen. Because inside you are dirty. But I know a bunch of people, don't play. God's Son shed His blood for them, and His own blood washes them. And I tell you, they are so clean inside that God's Spirit has come in and indwelt them. Well, I tell you, and you know where they stay in Singapore? They look like normal people. They go to work like normal people. But don't be deceived. They are walking, living, breathing temples of God. God dwells in them. When demons see them, the demons clear. Because they carry the light of God. The temple of God, mobile, moving temple. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't know what you got. I'm telling you, church. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, He'll abide with you forever. So the Holy Spirit will never leave you. Even when you sin, He will never leave you. In fact, when Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will abide with you forever, don't forget, He knew He's talking to people who are fallible. People who are subject to weakness. People who are subject to failure. Amen? So there's no one who is filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit stayed forever because the man is sinless. No one except Jesus. Amen? So on what basis, Pastor Prince, can the Holy Spirit indwell me, even though my actions can be wrong sometimes, but He never leaves me? Or it's because it's no more your actions. It's the action of the one who redeemed you. It's no more your obedience. It's the obedience of that man at the cross that God judges everything by. Amen? So the Holy Spirit was very slow in leaving. And Ezekiel saw. Finally, he went to the eastern gate and lingered again, almost like unwilling to go, even though the people's sins have overflowed the cup. And finally, he left. And you know what? Many, many years after that, after Jesus paid the price for sinful mankind, the Holy Spirit returned on the same mountain, Zion. This time in the upper room. And this time 120. It all began with 120. It has spread to a little island called Singapore. And many of them tonight are gathered in a place called The Rock! Amen. Hallelujah! Amen! But it began with 120. And you know what? God's Holy Spirit is like this. Amen? Waiting for Jesus to come back. And Jesus says, hang on. He said, the price is paid. Jesus says, wait for the day of Pentecost to fully come. So they all know that when Jesus died, he died exactly Passover day. The Holy Spirit must come the day of Pentecost. So, 5 more seconds, 5 more minutes effort, then 5 more seconds, the Holy Spirit waited, then Jesus said, go! When the day of Pentecost was fully come, he came like a rushing mighty wind. You see how eager God is to fill you up? All these ideas that you get, you know, that you sin, boom, very fast he leaves. Wow, make me feel like, you know, even my sinner friends last time don't do that. When I was a young Christian, there was the impression I got in the charismatic circle, all right, that the Holy Spirit leaves very fast. You know, one wrong word, just one wrong word, and it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. And then there are ministers who try to convince us that you must really have a spiritual atmosphere all the time. No babies crying, nothing, for the Holy Spirit to move, because he's such a gentle spirit. They told me that. You know, one baby crying, he's gone. Too bad. Too bad. Who told that lady to bring in the baby? Why, you know, then when you go to the Gospels, you find that when Jesus walked around, people were crying, babies were crying, children were playing, people were shouting, blind people were screaming, hey, Jesus! You know, and all kinds of noise and no, hallelujah. Because I tell you for sure, nowhere do I see that any of the 12 is a musician. Not one. Alright? In fact, they make bad music. I mean, they complain, who shall be the greatest? That's the song they sing. Who's the greatest? Who's gonna sit beside you? Come on, Lord, it's me. Amen? And the anointing still flowed. And the anointing even flowed accidentally when they touched his clothes. You see, why am I saying all this? Because the way you are taught is the way you believe. If you believe the Holy Spirit is that delicate, you will never count on him. So, can you see for yourself the scriptures? Amen? Then the Bible says, it filled the whole house where they were sitting. I'm so glad that they were sitting down when the Holy Spirit came. Not only were they sitting, you know what's the picture of sitting? The work is finished. Amen? The priests of the Old Testament never sat down because their work is never finished. Jesus finished the work for us. All sins forgiven. God is satisfied. Are you? I said, God is satisfied with his son's work. Are you?
Yes.
Amen? You are forgiven. Hallelujah. Then, not only they sat down, the Holy Spirit also sat down on them, you know. The Holy Spirit also found rest. It says, there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each of them. Amen? Can you see that? The word sat is there, use of the Holy Spirit. Remember the time the Holy Spirit was typified as a dove? Noah's ark, Noah let go the dove, a picture of the Holy Spirit, and the dove went around trying to find land, but the waters were not subsided yet, so the dove came back. Because the Bible says the dove cannot find a new creation, you understand? The dove cannot find a new creation to rest herself. So the dove came back, and the Bible says she found no rest for the soles of her feet. And here you find the Holy Spirit set. The new creation has come. The new creation has come. Whoa, hallelujah. See, you're very scriptural. You are sitting down. You know, even in the area of praise and worship, there is a teaching that they say that you never find worshippers sitting down. Have you heard that before? Worshippers are usually standing or prostrate on the floor or whatever, you know. And I used to feel guilty sitting down during praise and worship until I found this verse. They were all worshipping, praying and worshipping when the Holy Spirit filled them. Today, your physical posture is not important. You can be lying on the bed and God will fill you up. You understand, church? Amen? God doesn't come and say, oh, on the bed, I cannot, you know? This angle I cannot feel, you know? Alright? God made you, alright? And God made you to sleep. Alright? You know why God made you to sleep? Because of women! Now you know why Adam slept. Okay, anyway, every time we sleep, it reminds us what makes us tired. Anyway, praise the Lord, moving right along. Ignore the last 5 statements I make. It's not scriptural. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the Bible says, you know the story, they came rushing out. Because the people came rushing towards them. The people were all, the sound was noise abroad, and the people came towards them. Very interesting, because the other Pentecost in the Old Testament, on Mount Sinai, God also came down, I didn't mention the fire. All right, tongues of fire, right? Tongues as of fire. In the Old Testament, when God came on Mount Sinai, the Bible says the Lord descended in fire. But the Lord descended on a mountain. All right, here God descended on a people. And it's cloven tongues of fire. Now, James in his book said that the tongue is a fire in a negative way. The tongue is a fire, a whirl of iniquity, and it sets on fire the course of nature. That's why, you know what's the course of nature? When you have a wound in your body, doctors, where the immune system come from? There's no school of medicine that will teach you where it came from. It came from God. Immune system. Your body came from God, what? So everything that came from God, actually it's common sense, lah. But sometimes I must explain. It's okay, God can use people like this more and more. Those who are honest, say, huh? Instead of those who are intelligent, say, I don't know what in the world he's talking about, you know? At least he expressed. Right? Correct? God put immune system. You know, during the SARS time, SARS period in Singapore, all right, just because people are infected with SARS doesn't mean SARS kill. SARS is not always sassy. Not everyone see, right? Not everyone die, right? Correct? There are people who had SARS, and they lived. It all came back to the immune system, how strong their immune system is. That's the time where all the Chinese medicine capitalized on it, lah. Oh, this one will boost your immune system, lah. Oh, that one will, you know, and more tigers died. You know? Or they become kittens, you know? and people are trying to boost their immune system. That's the whole idea, you know, because man knows that it can boost your immune system. I don't care what disease comes in your body, your immune system will swallow it up. Amen. Your immune system will swallow it up. But someone who has weak immune system, AIDS, you know, AIDS? AIDS is acquired immune deficiency syndrome. That's why. It's not AIDS, it's not a disease that the disease that kills them. No. It's whatever they have. If there are floating germs, whatever, and he catches it, that's it. That germ will kill him because there's no immune against it. Are you listening, people? Now, having said that, God built everything. God knows us. Now, I wish I had time to show you that even the tabernacle, God uses the word, the pillars, the column, the crown of the tabernacle is actually words of man's physiology. The words ribs are used for the tabernacle of Moses, ribs on the sides. Instead of sides, it's used the word ribs, human ribs, columns, leg, crown, is all used. So God really foresaw that the real temple will come. Turn to your neighbor and say, wow. You're looking at the temple of God. Amen. You're looking at the temple of God. Amen. We are the temples of God. Amen. Now, church, it says the tongue is a fire, James says, and it sets on fire the course of nature. Sets on fire the course of nature. If you don't speak wholesome words, you burn up your body. You set on fire the course of nature. For example, God has set the course of nature to kill germs that enter your body. But because your mouth is complaining, criticizing, instead of appreciating, giving thanksgiving, looking for the good, you're always looking for the bad. You know what's going to happen? You set on fire your own course of nature. Your body is jumbled up. Your body is confused because you're not designed for this. You understand? You set on fire. So the tongue is a very evil thing. And James says, if a man can bridle his tongue, he can bridle his entire body. Like the whole ship is moved by a helm. All right? He says, likewise, the tongue, though it's small, it's a small member, it's a world of iniquity. If anyone can bridle his tongue, James says, the same is a perfect man. Now, is it any wonder then, when the Holy Spirit came, the first member that he bridles is the tongue. Come on. And they began to speak with other tongues. Come on. Now, we reverse what James says. Instead of the tongue is a evil fire, now the tongues of fire has filled them. Can you see that? All mankind has tongues of evil fire. Amen. Guess where the fiery darts come? Amen. So, now is a tongue of Holy Ghost fire, setting on fire your body, setting right the course of nature. Come on. And if you can allow the Holy Spirit to have your tongue, you allow the Holy Spirit to have your entire body. You know, I used to wonder last time, I used to surrender my life to the Holy Spirit so many times. So many times I would do it, no? Every time I hear a good sermon or I read a good book about consecration, I'll say, oh, Holy Spirit, I surrender my whole life to you. And yet, I still fall here and there and doesn't seem to have power. I was thinking, I surrendered what? And that's what I was taught to surrender your life like that. But then I realized the way you surrender your life is to do it scripturally. Is to do what God did when the day of Pentecost came. God took hold of your tongue. Give God your tongue. Give God your tongue. If God can have your tongue, God can touch your liver. If God can have your tongue, if you speak in tongues, that's how you give the Holy Spirit your tongues. He can touch your kidneys and set it right. Amen. If God can have your tongue, God can touch your skin, your lungs, your heart. Because the Bible says the tongue sets on fire the course of nature. Anyone can control the tongue, he'll bridle the whole body. Amen? Amen. So are you learning, church? Now, back to this again. So Peter and all the 120, they all came out, speaking in tongues. Now, when God gave the law on Mount Sinai, the people ran off. The people all ran away. They were afraid. In fact, they begged Moses not to let God speak anymore, because God was talking about man's works. Alright? Thou shall not murder. Thou shall not steal. Thou shall not commit adultery. And then finally, the biggest clincher that got the Apostle Paul and many of us is this. Thou shall not covet. That means, all the previous nine, don't even want it in your heart. Covet. Amen. And the people begged that God will not repeat those words. They were afraid, they ran off. But on the day of Pentecost, in the New Covenant, when God gave the Spirit, there were many people, because the people were gathered there. Don't forget, they are Jews and they are converted, proselytes, Gentiles who observe and embrace Judaism during that time. So they were all in Jerusalem, because it is required for all the feasts that people go to Jerusalem in those days. So it was a very crowded time. Remember the feast? Jesus was born during the Feast of Tabernacles, and there was no room for him. Why was it so crowded? Because it was a Feast of Tabernacles, and the word tabernacle among us. Imagine, the whole festival is for him, and there's no room for him. Not even the royal suite, or the presidential suite. But the Son of God. Isn't it like God to allow his Son to be born in such a place, in a manger? Why? So smelly, so dirty, so that you understand, when he first comes into your heart. Amen? But praise God, he comes to clean, and it is cleansed. Amen? So, when they came out rushing, and they spoke in tongues, the Bible says this. They were all filled. They spoke in tongues, and I'm going to jump all that passage and go to what they said. And the people heard them speak in tongues of different languages. And this is what they said. Look at this. Cretans, Arabs, and all the listing of different languages are speaking. We hear them. The people said, we hear them, the apostles and the 120. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. You see, the law focused on the works of men. And anyone points you to your works, you are doomed for frustration, despair. Amen? Come on. Correct? But here, tongues talk about the wonderful works of God. Can I have a good amen? Hallelujah. It's grace. So tongues is a grace gift. It is such a grace gift. I was telling some people just the other day, it's such a grace gift that people feel guilty sometimes using grace, this gift. Because you know why? You can be cooking and pray in tongues. You can be walking or playing golf and pray in tongues. In fact, I would recommend, you might even score more. You can be on the computer and pray in tongues. You can be engage your mind with something and still be praying in tongues. Amen. But because of its great simplicity, awesome simplicity, men who are proud and men who think they are something cannot appreciate the simple but powerful gifts of God. Amen. You gotta set aside your mind. What was the point? I say things I don't understand. That's always the argument. Not spoken is in your heart. Why speak things I don't understand? Why say things I don't understand? Because my friend, you don't understand much about the things of God. You don't understand why you're not receiving. But there is one who indwells you. He's been called alongside and to fill you, and he's your legal counselor. He knows all that Jesus has done for you. He knows every right and privilege that you have as a child of God. All right? And he knows the reason right now in the present tense, in your specific circumstance, in your specific location in Singapore, right now at this present time, 2005, this year. He knows exactly your specific problem that you're faced with right now. He knows exactly what is holding you back. So let him create the language that you do not understand. Because if you pray based on your understanding, it's very limited. Hosima. Amen. Amen. So let the Holy Spirit have his way. Let him plead your case before God. The best people to get to pray for you, besides Pastor Henry and your leaders, all right? We are still, you know, people are not perfect, but there's one. If God can pray for you, God pray for you, God the Spirit pray for you, to God the Father, you think guaranteed or not? Via the Son at his right hand. Amen? Whoa! He makes intercession according to the perfect will of God for all the saints. Amen? So, if the devil want to do anything, he'll jam you at your mouth. Amen. So again, what a beautiful contrast. The letter kills, 3,000 people died. And then, when they spoke in tongues, alright, the wonderful works of God, then Peter stood up, preached the gospel, and 3,000 people were saved. 3,000 people were saved when 3,000 people died in the Old Testament. Because of the law. Again, we see a marvelous illustration. The letter kills. And you know what? We don't go back to Mount Sinai. God says, even as a beast or a man touch the mountain, it shall be thrust through with a spear or an arrow. In the Old King James, it says dart. That caught my attention. Because we battle against fiery darts. What causes fiery darts to come our way? When you touch Mount Sinai. The Bible says you'll be thrust through with a spear or a fiery dart. Whenever you touch the law, you're asking for it. We touch Mount Zion. The day of Pentecost was at Mount Zion and the Holy Spirit came. Amen. Amen, church. Now, we go back to Joshua 1:8. Look up here, Joshua 1:8, up here on the screen. All right. God says you shall haggah, mutter it, God's law. So, what has replaced the law? The Spirit has come. Hello. Look up here, people. You know, this is where I think those who are concerned that deliverance from the law and all that can cause people trouble. This is where they need to know the safety is. You see, God does not take something and leave it empty. Jesus himself said, if a man is delivered from demons, he better get filled. Because if it's empty, alright, it'll be worse for him. Alright, so God himself, when God takes something bad away, trust me, he will give you something great. Now, sometimes God will take something good away, but because he wants to give you something best. And we see this in the book of Hebrews. God took away Aaronic priesthood, which is good, but gave them the Melchizedek priesthood that never fails. The best. God took away the sacrifices of bulls and goats, which is good. It covered them, and God gave them the best. One sacrifice forever, the blood of God's own Son. Amen? Amen? So, you can trust God. God always replaces something good. So what replaces the law? Spirit. So when we remove the law, remember this. We live by the Spirit. Amen. Now, I understand that people say, well, I'm free from the law. But neither do they want to live by the Spirit. Now, we're not advocating one kind of bondage. We're not saying that get out of one bondage into another bondage. Pastor Prince is encouraging you to get out of bondage into liberty. True liberty. Because you know what? That kind of, I'm free from the law. I can do whatever I want. It's another form of bondage. Because what you want, alright, many a times will destroy you. In the beginning part of your life, until your wants are changed by the Spirit. I thank God I don't get everything I want. I thank God I don't marry every girl I met. I thank God that I didn't get into every career I wanted. One of which is to be an air steward. Another one was to be an actor. Okay, you all laugh. Never mind. But I found out I can do it all while I'm preaching. Hallelujah. So God designed it. And I want to be a singer. And I want to marry one of the Hindi actresses. Thank God I didn't get what I want. God gave me all that my exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think.